I get a signal check, please? No copy on a signal check. This is KFA-EDQ, and I'm clear.
KFA-DRC from NHWJZ. NHWJZ, clear.
Hey, I'm setting up a new radio here. Anybody let me know if I'm getting into the repeater, AI7CG?
KSA-DPZ. I didn't catch your call sign, but you're definitely making the repeater. I'm over on the Mount Clemens repeater. I can hear you perfectly fine.
Hey, thanks for that. It's AI7CG.
So, Alpha Indigo 7, Tango Golf.
Yes, that's it. You got it. Thanks.
All right, copy that. You're welcome. Okay, have a good day.
Oh my God, I haven't slept this late in years.
Well, good afternoon there, sleepyhead. KF8DPZ.
Well, it ain't afternoon yet. It looks like there's a minute to go, so I may have woke up late, but at least it was the morning still.
Splitting hairs with the best of them, I see. I just got done doing a couple of modifications to my new refrigerator. I put a couple of old parts from the old one in it. Got a much better ice maker, and now it has a light inside.
A light inside is always a good thing.
Yes, it is. This fixture I swiped out of the old one. The fridge was 20 years old and finally died. And, the new one's a Whirlpool, the old one was a Kenmore, but Whirlpool makes all the Kenmore and Amana appliances. And apparently they haven't changed the interior cabinet design in decades. So, all the parts fit.
So I assume the spot to mount the light and everything and the switch and all that stuff, that was all there already?
Actually, no. The entire fixture assembly from the old one, the way it installed is if you took out one screw, it practically fell out. The only way to finish disconnecting was to remove the back panel and unplug it. So I just kind of did the reverse. I took the back panel out of the freezer, spliced in the wires, put the back panel back up, and shoved the light up into the corner where it belongs and screwed it in place.
Well, good deal. Always good when a plan comes to fruition.
Yeah, yes it is. After getting this replacement from the last one, Diane, I realized the thing I misposed out of the freezer was a light so I could see what I was doing in there. And since the old one was still sitting on the curb at that point in time, I just went out and scavenged some parts.
My old one was so different from our new one that I doubt there would have been anything that would have transferred back and forth between the two different manufacturers, everything. I bought one of these, is it an LG, I think? Yeah, and they had this known issue with their compressors, and of course that's the one I bought.
So I'm guessing that's what died on you on the last one, then. The compressor seized up or something.
I honestly don't remember. It's been a very long time. I know I ran and got this Sears used to have a, remember them? They used to have an outlet store in Livonia, I think it was. And I blasted out there and I bought this LG on a recommendation. And, well, I mean, I was looking for fridges and LGs were high on my list. They had this scratch and dent, you know, and the scratch or the dent was in the part that pushes back into the, you know, the space. You'd never see it. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that. And got a serious discount. It's weird because I have a slightly smaller opening than normal. Like, I think 36 inches the standard. And it's funny, because if you want anything smaller than that, you pay through the nose. I think I need, like, the 33-inch. And had I known that, it would have been, I designed this kitchen, had I known that, I would have easily opened it up another 3 inches, but I didn't know. Made it 33 inches, and because that's what I had, and that's what fit. And, I really wish I would have researched that a little better, or had somebody had noticed. But, yeah, you pay through the nose for anything under 36.
Now, that's something that I didn't know, that getting smaller than that would be so darn expensive. I don't remember the dimensions on my opening. I just remember building the opening when I was doing my kitchen to fit the refrigerator I had at the time. It was like a 21 cubic foot. And everything that I've gotten since that time has been like 20.5 cubic inches, and it just rolls right in. I play hob leveling it because the floor is uneven right there, but other than that, it fits perfectly. It's like 1.5 inches, 2 inches of clearance all the way around.
Yeah, I did the same thing when I was designing it. I just built it pretty much to fit the refrigerator I had. I had no idea that it was non-standard. You know, it was like one step down from the standard. And really, you know, it's amazing what kind of deals you can get on refrigerators, 36 inches. But boy, the minute you move to 33, the price skyrockets. There's no deals to be had because they're making all 36s. You probably got a 36. That's probably, you're probably lucky. And when you built yours around the one you had, you probably were lucky in. I have no idea what mine is cubic foot-wise. I just know the opening is 33 instead of 36, I guess.
That's the width of the opening, right? I'm going to go double-check that right quick. I got tape measure handy, and it's like 3 steps away.
Well, you got what you got. That's the hole you got to deal with. But, yeah, you probably got a 36. That's why everything you're getting, you're not having any trouble.
Yeah, I copy that. I think it was all I had this fridge in place in 2 weeks, and I can't remember the measurements anymore. Anyway, BRB.
W8FU.
Well, lo and behold, turns out my fridge is 33 inches across the front.
I didn't catch that. How much?
Mine is also 33 inches wide across the front. There's about 1.5 inches clearance on each side, but on the one side, it's not really so much clearance because the counter overhangs the cabinet by 1.5 inches, so the fridge goes right up against it. So yeah, basically I'm stuck with 33-inch wide fridges too. I did get lucky. I caught this one on sale. It was normally $1,100 for this fridge, and I caught it for $760 at Lowe's. And then, like, 2 days after I bought it, they dropped the price to $700, so I was able to get $60 back.
Yeah, I just had that happen to me on a generator, although it was Home Depot. I bought a generator that was... It was like $200 off, and I had been eyeballing this particular generator, checked all the boxes. So when it was over $200 off, I ran and grabbed it. And then the next day, it's another $100 off. And so I go back in there and got them to refund me the $106, actually, because I got the tax as well. So, not bad. But that took the grand total, or, you know, that took it down to under a grand. And the financing deal I got is 18 months, same as cash. But you have, it has to be over a grand. So I still got the deal. But, you know, the 18 months, same as cash. But it was under a grand when they gave me the $100 back. So. Oh, well, small victories, right?
Those are the best ones. So how many kilowatts you got on that generator?
It's, 9,000 starting, 75 running or something like that on gas, but it's a tri-fuel, and I'm running it on natural gas, so derate it down to something like 665 or something like that.
Still, that's just about enough to run your entire house once you get everything wired up right, KF8DPZ.
Yeah, I had a 4,000 watt and a little Generac 4,000. And I have a transfer panel, you know, with six circuits. It runs six circuits in my house. That run everything. It run the upstairs refrigerator, the downstairs refrigerator, the furnace blower motor, you know, the computer area with the cable modem and all that stuff, and where I generally do all my stuff, and then the area where my wife watches TV and whatnot. So, you know, we got our entertainment areas and the refrigerators, the furnace, we got a light in the bathroom, everything we need. But, you know, you couldn't run coffee maker or the microwave or a toaster. And so I've had my generator for well over 20 years, and it was getting a little tired. So I said, you know, it's time for a new one. I think I'm going to up it, go to an inverter. So I got an inverter and up the wattage. Now I can run the coffee maker, the microwave. I can run the whole house off this. And I've been thinking seriously about switching to a supply side transfer switch. I did up it to 10 circuits, and I've got two of them that I haven't even ran yet because I can't figure out what else I want to run.
Oh, I'm sure you'll come up with something. Yeah, I got a similar setup here. I got transfer switches inside the house. So I can run out to the shed and start the generator, and by the time I make it back into the house to the transfer switch to flip it over, the generator's warmed up enough to be able to take the load.
Do you have is your transfer switch before the distribution box, or is it one of the load side ones with the multiple circuits?
Well, it has multiple circuits in it, and the interlock main breakers, I've got to feed off my main panel from one side for that. And then, you know, the other one is fed from the generator, so I'm not sure exactly what you'd call that. It sounds like, I said, it sounds like it's a load side.
Oh, if you're like, if you've got a main breaker lockout where, you know, you got either, it's either service, you know, city services or generator, that's going to be load side or the supply side. You know, that's before the box. That's a good way to go. I can't do it. I can't get one of those lockout breakers for mine, and I'm not going to do a Widowmaker and just backfeed. I've got a 60-amp, you know, that I use to do a sub-panel in my garage, and I could backfeed there, but I ain't going to pull that hokey stuff. So I got a legit supply-side transfer box, you know, 10 circuits. I may go to the supply side. I was thinking about putting a manual transfer switch between the meter and the box and put it on the outside of the house with an inlet. Then I could just jack into that, let the generator warm up, then throw the switch. The whole house will come up. I may do that. I don't know. Mine's working perfectly fine.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Basically, the way mine is wired is my service drop comes in, goes into my main panel, and then basically I took a 60-amp sub-panel breaker, and I use that to feed the transfer switch, where most of the house circuits, the important ones like yours, are all wired into that. And there's, like, you know, other circuits that are in the main panel that are like, you know, they're not necessary for my survival. And if I really, really want to run anything like that, I can always use an extension cord.
All right, yeah, you got something maybe a little bit. You say only some of your circuits get energized with the generator, so that's something else entirely. That might be one of those generator-specific load panels. I'm not sure what you got there, but anyhow, the big deal is you got a lockout for your breaker. That's the key if you're going to do that route. I would have liked to have done that here, but my panel doesn't support it, so I got to get creative if I'm going to go on the load side, or the supply side, I should say.
Yeah, my transfer switch basically is a mechanical lockout. The two main breakers, the one from the two main breakers in the transfer switch, the one from the main panel. And that one's huge. It has a whole bunch of circuits because I've got some stuff that I like to run on dedicated circuits. And, you know, they're not vital. You know, things like, you know, some of the power tools out in the garage and whatnot, they have their own circuits. But, so there's the feed from the main panel into the transfer switch on one side and the feed from the generator into the transfer switch on the other side. And the two breakers have a mechanical interlock on the rocker arm. If you turn one of them on, it forces the other one off. So there's no way you can backfeed the system.
Yepper, that's the way to do it. All right, anyhow, I got to get moving here. I didn't wake up just now, but I woke up a lot closer to 11 than I'm comfortable with. That's, I don't even know how I slept that late. Now I got to figure out what to eat. Enjoy the new refrigerator. It's nice to get a project done. W8FU after you.
Yeah, oh, believe me, we're already enjoying it. It's nice to have one that works instead of everything melted and wasted and things like that. Anyways, I got to get moving myself because it's time to get on to the next project now that I've had myself a break. Have a good day there, Sean. This is Cliff here, saying 73 to you. KF8 DPZ, clear and monitoring.
This is KF8 EDQ on the mobile. WD8KLL.
This is W8DIJ calling, Whiskey 8 Victor India calling on this repeater and standing by.
WDAKLL.
KF8S, W8EAP. Nothing heard, W8EAP.
NAWJZ testing. KF8DRC, NAWJZ.
KF8, yeah,
actually,
go ahead.
Hey, there you are, Jack. Got you in there. Sounds good. Sounds good. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're sounding good, too. You're really sounding good. Anyhow, I sent you a couple of texts, and I know you got them. The station 772, you know, that guy, he's got a good job out there, and I always talk to him. And he's a very nice guy, by the way. If you want, you can talk to him. Roger.
Okay, yeah, I've heard him around, so I appreciate it there. So, yeah, the system's full scale down here, so, yeah, conditions are awesome, so, very good. Now, you're doing good there. Sounds like you got a great station there. What are you using on this band for radio, rig?
I'm using the TYT 9600. at 50 watts, but I'm only on a medium watt.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure from where you're at you don't need much there, so, yeah, I just done a Kenwood into a tri-band vertical ground plane, so seems to work out okay. Conditions are phenomenal, though, so can't complain, that's for sure. I'm glad I got you over here, so, yeah, this is quite a system also, very nice setup here.
This is actually a radio, the Kenwood. I love these Kenwoods. Right now, I'm waiting to get that one. And very soon I might get one, too, the Kenwood. They are good radios.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there, that's for sure. That's definitely a good break there. But anywho, I told you about the other, there's a big high-profile GMRS system down here on 16, on, what is that, 16 is, 575, and you might want to listen there, it's a pretty good system there, but anyway, there's a whole lot of GMRS stuff anymore, though. It's really getting crazy out there, that's for sure.
Roger, I see that, but I didn't get the PL on that one. Is it 138.4 or just 138?
No, that's the 179.2, 179 PL there, Jack.
I got it. I'm gonna put it. I see if I can put it on this the TYT. It might fix it up because I put another ham there and picked it up. So I'm gonna try tomorrow to do that. It's late, and I just want to. I have a couple of things to do, but I will do that. It says 179.2, correct?
No, it's 79.7, copy.
You got it, Dan, no problem. I just wrote it down right now, and I will put it in tomorrow. That'll be 46257. Now, is that the plus, correct?
Well, that's the GMRS, yeah, the GMRS channel 16. What is that? 575, the output. Copy.
What I'm saying is it's 5 a plus, right? Or it's not a plus or something like that. It's a plus, yeah, I can put it, no problem at all. Plus 5.
Yeah, Roger, it's a plus, Jack, plus. Just the regular GMRS.
No problem. And thank you again. You take care and you have a good evening. KF8DIC.
Okay, Jack. Take care. Good to hear you over on this side. And have a good week coming up. And we'll be listening out somewhere. Anyway, somewhere down the line. KF8DRC, N8WJZ. I'll be clear.
KFA EDQ on the mobile.